standing there in front of your friends and you're naked. You have nothing on. And you can't even phone your mom because cell phones didn't exist in your dream. It's just bad. You feel so ashamed of yourself. But what I feel is it's your spirit just starting to tell you, you know what, there was a better state before the fall of man, before sin entered into the world. And therefore we long to be like Adam and Eve was with God. In the Bible it says that they walked the garden with God, and there was this closeness, this connectedness with God. That would be amazing. Go to Victoria Beach and just walk there with Jesus. Walk there with God. We long for that. Okay, so the first point that I want to make tonight is intimacy is a desire of God. God desires intimacy. And we're going to look at this one scripture. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Exodus 25, verse 8. We're just going to read that now. If you don't have your Bible, you can ask the Christian next to you to show you your Bible. It's a great idea to bring your Bible to church. Not your phone. It's just better to bring your Bible. Okay, so Exodus 25, verse 8. So the context of the story is God delivers his people, his family. He delivers them from Egypt. We all know that story. God's people gets delivered from Egypt. And now God says, I don't only want to do something for you. I want to have a relationship with you. And he tells Moses to build him a temple, a place to stay. Why? Because he wants to dwell with them. Listen to this. Let them make me a sanctuary, a temple, that I may dwell in their midst. It's basically God saying, God, Moses, I can't do this. I can't be here on this side and you on that side. I want to be amongst my children. I want to be with you. I want to be in your faces. I want to be in your lives. I long for intimacy. So God desires to be with us. So some of you sometimes have this desire to be with God. Sometimes. Maybe 5 minutes a day. Some of us an hour a day. Some of us 24/7. We have this desire to be with God. And that desire, it comes from God. But think of God's desire to be with us. God's desire is so much greater than our desire. Like, I have a desire to be with my wife now, or I have a desire to be with my kids now. And that's a great desire. It's a strong desire. But God, the creator of the universe, the one who created this person, who created me, who created my purpose, he has a desire to meet with me. God has a desire to be intimately involved with you. God has a desire to into me you see. He wants to open up himself so that you can see into him. And also he wants you to open up to him so that he can see clearly into what's going on in your life. He has the desire to be intimately involved with you. So that's the first truth. God desires intimacy with all of us. The second truth is, and some of you have maybe experienced this already, intimacy makes us uncomfortable. Intimacy makes us uncomfortable. So I told a story in the morning. So very often when Luke and Monica visits our place, they would get into coochie-coochie mode. Oh, Monica, Monica would be, oh, Lukey, and then my wife would go, get a room. Those of you who've been around in love people, you just want to tell them, hey man, just get out of the way. You make me feel uncomfortable. Listen to this. Song of Songs. Think a guy wrote this. Song of Songs. Wuchlit. Who of you have read Wuchlit? That's a very intimate book. Okay? The guys in the 1600s, they believed that this book shouldn't even be available to people under 18 because it was so intimate. Okay, so a guy, he wrote this book and he's talking from the wife's perspective, from the girl's perspective, the woman's perspective, and he says this, let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. Now, if you start reading that, even in church, man, I feel uncomfortable. Now I have to let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth. It is, we're not used to that kind of talk, especially when it comes to God. Especially if it comes to God. Yesterday, I was spending time with my son, Nicholas, and he's like, Papa, Kirsten, only van swinkies nie. He says, Daddy, the girl at school doesn't like kisses. I'm like, so I'm trying to find out, how did he find out that she doesn't like kisses? So I'm asking him, what did you do? He said, no, he wanted to kiss her, and then she said no. I'm like, okay. But he loves his intimacy. So people, we get awkward when we talk about intimacy. Girls, in a way, you guys are wired to be more coochie-coochie. And you are sharing your feelings openly with friends, and in a way you invite people into your lives, and you would share, hey man, that hurt me. Us guys would be like, you didn't hurt me, I can't be hurt, I will never cry in my life, I'm a cowboy, da da da. Because we are afraid. Why do we feel uncomfortable, awkward with intimacy? Because we fear. We fear. What do we fear? We fear that people will into me, you see. We fear that people will look straight through us when we start opening up to them. And they would see what's in us. And we know, or we think we know, that that's not great at all. Ask by a spinneraka. There's lots of nonsense. There's lots of brokenness. And they would be throw or just feel ill-equipped to deal with who we are. We don't like intimacy because we feel or we are fearful that people see who we really are. But in intimacy, God exposes, in intimacy with people, in intimacy with God, God exposes who we really are. So we want that. So the third point that I want to make is, without intimacy, you can't be fruitful. So if you want a baby, you need to be intimate with your wife. We all get that. If you want a baby, you need to be intimate with your wife. But the same thing, it's a life principle. See, if you want to be fruitful in life, if you want to bear fruit for God, you need to be intimate with God. We can't get away from that. If you want to bear fruit, you need to get intimate with God. That means you need to spend time with God. You need to make room for Him in your life. You need to say, God, I want to set apart some time and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to feel uncomfortable sometimes during worship because it's just so intimate. There's a guy singing about how much you love me and how good, good father you are. And then somebody comes and he touches me. I'm like, wow, I don't like this intimacy. I once took a guy to church, and the first thing, he didn't know Jesus at all at that time. And the first thing that happened is this guy who knew me walked right past me, and he gave them this massive hug, and he pulled him in like a bear hug. And I saw this guy just stock stiff. And then afterwards he said, oh my, I was just so awkward. Why didn't you stop this guy? But then in the same breath he said, oh, I actually needed that. I needed that. I needed that awkwardness. I needed somebody to cross that line and to be intimate with me, even if it was just a hug. Without intimacy, we can't be fruitful. Not in relationships, not in life, with nothing. So if you're not willing to be uncomfortable with your love, with telling people you love them, telling God you love them, exposing yourself, your hurt, your pains to God, you will never fulfill the true purpose that God has called you for. You'll never get to that place where you can bear fruit so that God can be glorified. Because we become so stuck in our own little nest that we build around us to protect us that we lose our ability to bear fruit. C.S. Leroux, one of my mentors, he said, you will produce that which you are intimate with. You will reproduce that which you are intimate with. You will reproduce that which you are intimate with. So what are you intimate with? If you're not intimate with God, with what are you intimate with? What are you giving your life to? What are you giving your desires to? Who are you giving your heart to? If we are intimate with God, we will reproduce Jesus in other people. We will reproduce Jesus in our own lives. If our biggest desire is just to please God, our biggest desire is just to spend time with God, to love God and to do His will, we will reproduce that in whatever we do. If we are intimate only with worldly things, your greatest desire is just to listen to Rihanna all day long. It's just continuous song over and over, and that's just what you do because you just want to please your fleshly nature. You're going to reproduce that. You're going to reproduce that which you are intimate with. That's the third point. The last point, and for me the most important point, I'm going to spend a little time on this, is holiness is the key to intimacy with people and with God. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people, because without holiness, because without holiness it is impossible to see God. So that without holiness it is impossible to see God. Okay, so let's just do a survey here quickly. Who of you are holy in this place? It's a trick question, so you know it's a trick question. Who of you are holy in this place? Okay, and if you think you're holy, and that's what you just raise your hand. Very high. Okay, lots of holy and unholy people. Okay, great. You can lower your hands again. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, you take on His identity. Is Christ holy? So if you are born again, you get Christ's identity. Christ is holy. You get His holiness. In your spirit, you get born again. All your dirt, everything is just swept out of the door. You are clean. Therefore, that's the amazing thing. If some of you walked in here with an amazing bunch of sin and nonsense in your life, in your past, you can bring that to God, and tonight He can set you free, and you can be as holy as Luke. Because He is holy. You can be as holy as Jesus, because that's our spirit man gets rejuvenated, gets regenerated in that holiness of who God is. So without holiness, without being regenerated, without coming to that place where, God, I can't do it. I can't save myself. I can't forgive my sins. I can't do it anymore. And then you start and you surrender. That moment you surrender to God, the Holy Spirit comes in and He changes your life completely. And He starts with your spirit man, and then your soul dimension, and your will, your emotions, and your personality. And He starts working from your spirit man to your will, emotions, and your personality. He starts to bring that into order, into God's, under God's submission, under God's spirit. So if you are born again and if you are a Christian, you are holy. But it says we should also pursue holiness. Without holiness, it's impossible to see God. And if we can't see God, we won't be able to see people. We won't be able to be intimate with people. And I've come across this a lot. Because all of us has this desire to be intimate. Okay, here's another question. When you get into your teen years, or just before your teen years, you get a sexual drive. Who of you know have heard of a sexual drive? Okay. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? Okay, who of you say that's a good thing? Okay, who of you say it's a bad thing? The teenagers. Want julle maasies hier so, dis ek hoor, hè? No, it's a good thing. Because what it is, we are created in God's image. We are created in God's image. Okay, you must listen carefully to this. I'm going to explain this now. If you understand this, you will be set free of a lot of guilt and a lot of condemnation. Okay, we are created in God's image. God's desire is to have intimate relationships with us. He wants to be more intimate with us than we are with our wives and our husbands one day. Those of you already married, your current wives and husbands. So we are created in His image, so we also have the desire to be intimate with people. And then one of the great things that God has created for us to enter into is marriage. It's a covenant relationship, a holy relationship with your wife or your husband. He created that. So when you start to realize that this is who we are and God has given us this desire for intimacy, we start to long for a relationship with our wife or our husband. And that's where the sexual drive kicks in. Because I've counseled people that's in marriage and they don't have a sexual drive. It's not from God to not have a sexual drive in marriage. To be with your wife in that special intimate place that's only for marriage, that's only for that covenant relationship, is a special thing. And it should be there. So, when we start experiencing these changes in our body, then it's actually God's image of His desire to be intimately involved with us. That desire for intimacy that comes to the fore. But now here's the problem. We all live in a sinful world. So the moment that you start experiencing that thing, that desire to be with a wife or a husband, the devil comes. And he says, you know what? Don't wait for marriage. You can please yourself now. You get a girl, you get pornography, you do masturbation. That's what you do. You just go for it straight now. You don't have to wait. So the devil, he can never create something, but he can corrupt something. So this desire that we have to have a girlfriend, to have a boyfriend, to be married one day is a godly and a holy thing. But then the devil comes and he says, hey, I can see this amazing plan that God has for these young people to get married and to have offspring so that eventually they can kick my butt. I know that's God loves families and he wants families to kick the devil's butt. So now he's like, okay, I'm going to destroy this plan of God. I'm going to corrupt it. So what does he do? He starts entering our minds through filthy thoughts, through worldly things, through worldly songs. Most of the songs that we listen to are very sexualized. Everything is about, hey, get somebody into the bed, and there we go. So what's the devil trying to do? He's not creating something. He's using something that God has given you, the desire to be intimate. This desire to be with a girlfriend or a husband, to love somebody, to be open and naked in front of somebody and say, hey, look straight into my heart. I want to share my deepest thoughts, feelings with you. And I want to share my body with you. He wants to destroy that. So the fourth point is, without holiness, we cannot see God. Holiness is the key to intimacy. So what happens when we start, God, I know that I'm holy. I'm created in your image. I'm like Jesus in my spirit, man. And these things get thrown at us. We can say, hey, I'm not that filth that the devil is trying to tell me. I'm not that thing that I'm even thinking of now. I'm not that. I'm holy. And you start speaking that over yourself, that you are holy in Christ Jesus. Because what happens when we start to desire intimacy with God before we desire intimacy with people is the lordship of Jesus gets placed over our desire for intimacy, and it fulfills its true function. Because that intimacy should first of all be a desire to meet with God. If anything, whether it's a boyfriend, whether it's a relationship with your mom and your dad, or with rugby, or with food, or with your career, or with video games or music, if anything takes that place of having first priority in your life in terms of who you want to be intimate with, then you're getting away from holiness. You're not in the lordship of Jesus. I know it's a hard word, but if we can understand that it's not something that we do, it's something that we surrender to. We're like, Jesus, you are our king. I know that you can be a better king of my life than I can be a king of my life. You can be a better king of my sex drive than I can be a king of my sex drive. You can be a better king of my career than I am a king of my career. And you surrender all. Jesus says you must take up your cross. You must walk away from everything. And you must say, hey, Jesus, come and be the Lord of my life. Because Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. But the amazing thing is, and sometimes people stop there, is that when Jesus enters your life, he redeems everything. He changes everything. Suddenly, you not only your sin gets taken away, but also you start to realize who you really are. Who have you had that experience? You met Jesus and suddenly you're like, wow, man, I never knew that I was this person. Who have you had that experience? I didn't know that I was. Somebody even come to you and then afterwards they prophesy over you and said, I don't have these giftings. I'm not so amazing. And then God whispers in your ear. He's like, wow, you are amazing because I created you in my image. So the lordship of Jesus, it not only is about leaving your sin, leaving your addiction to whatever thing you have behind. Say, hey, I don't want anything to do with that. But it's also to see who you truly are. So holiness brings the lordship of Jesus to your desire for intimacy. Okay, if you guys can open with me 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. And then we're also going to read 22. So Peter's basically explaining in verse 15 and 16, he's giving the context and for the verse 22nd verse. He says, God says, I am holy, and we need to be holy as God is holy. We need to be holy as God is holy. And then he carries on about holiness until verse 21. And then in verse 22, he says this. So he's making this statement about us needing to be holy. He says, hey, pursue holiness. And then in verse 22, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. It's such an amazing scripture. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So we're talking about relationships and we're talking about holiness and how those two things interconnect. And it says, having purified your souls, like your souls become holy. So now you've been regenerated. We exist in three parts. We are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Okay, so now the spirit man gets regenerated. Jesus enters. He knocks down the door, kicks the devil out, and now you're clean, you're a holy, amazing person in that spirit man. But now in your soul's dimension, that thing still needs sanctification. It needs to become more like Jesus. So it says, having purified your souls, how do we purify our souls? By obedience. What is obedience? It's basically listening to what God says and just do it. Be a Nike Christian. Just do it. Say that for the person langs van jou. Just tell the person next to you. Just do it. So we have this thing. We are holy, but we also need to grow in holiness. How do you grow in your holiness? You are obedient. Some of you need to go back to 2 years, go into your journal, and God said something about a relationship, or God said something about what you should be doing in your life, or God said something about your music, God said something about your addiction, and you need to go back to that place. You need to be obedient to whatever God told you to be. Some of you need to just take up your identity in Christ and be obedient to what God has told you about who you are. Like, you are not useless, you're not gonna not marry one day. You are amazing. You need to take that in obedience to the word of Christ. You need to start believing what God says about you. Some of you need to just be like, wow, God says I must go out and I must speak to my friend about Jesus. And I actually have a testimony. I can tell him, hey, I was in church on Sunday and somebody prayed for me and I just felt God said He loves me. It seems like an insignificant testimony, but so many people crave to hear that God still speaks to people and tell them that they love them. So how do we purify our souls? How do we grow in obedience? How do we grow in holiness? Be obedient. Some of you need to get baptized. Some of you need just to come to church more regularly. Or join a small group. Or start serving your mother. Huh? Mothers? Wash the dishes. Now, do not veg. Do not veg on the couch anymore. Don't be so selfish. Just be obedient. You become more holy. And listen to this. So this thing, becoming more holy, will take us to this. A sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So it says the moment you become holy, the moment you grow in holiness, the better you'll be able to love Luke and to love your friends and to be more intimate. You'll be able to walk around and into me you see with most people because you're founded in who you are in Christ. You can share openly about your mistakes, your past. And we're going to hear about a couple of people sharing their testimonies now. Because you're just so founded in who God is. The Lordship of Jesus is reigning in your life. So if you can take anything away from tonight, I want to pursue holiness with God, intimacy with God. Say, God, I want to know you more intimately. God, I want to, everything that's keeping me from intimacy with you, just throw it away. Some of you even have good things that's keeping you away from being intimately involved. You know, your cell phone is a good thing, but sometimes it distracts you when you need to be intimate with God. It distracts me when I need to build a relationship with my wife. So my wife's constantly telling me, Elmo, come off on your phone off. It's a bad thing. It keeps us from being intimate. And then just the end of the last scripture that I'm going to share with you, and especially for the young people. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. It's easy to remember. Some of you need to write this down so that you can tell the devil. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Devil. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So it says, sometimes you can fight the devil, but in this area of lust, especially sexual lust, you need just to run. And these things happen. One of my friends went to London, and he was mingling with a crowd that was not so godly, and he was walking into his bedroom, and there on his bed was a girl naked telling him to jump onto the bed. He said, fortunately, he still had this conviction in his life that he needs to follow Jesus in that very moment. Although he said it was very tempting, and this guy was a Christian, and he just ran out. He didn't try and pray for her or counsel. He just ran away. Some of us need to do that. Whenever you come across whatever website, you're scrolling down on Instagram and you see whatever this, and you want to go, and you just throw your phone into the swimming pool. Or give it to somebody that will be able to use it. Get yourself a Nokia. One of our friends, Luke will know this guy. He got himself a Nokia, old Nokia phone. Like one of those that doesn't have a touchscreen. You can't even WhatsApp on that thing. The reason why, because he was fleeing from pornography. Because his phone was his access point to pornography. What does it tell you about that guy? He's a man. Some people are like, wow, he's weak. He can't handle these, can't control his desires. No, that guy's a man. Yeah, like that one. Exactly like that one. Humbert. Okay. Humbert, you will trade his phone in for an iPhone 6S or what? Anytime. Okay, so sometimes you're like, oh, devil. Most of the time we can be like, in the name of Jesus. But especially when it comes to, especially men, when it comes to sexual stuff, just run, boykies. Hardloop. As fast as possible. And then it says this, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And it says, run to your small group. Run to your friends. Say, hey, I may see it of thyself when of what to call. Okay. So I'm going to end off with two testimonies, and then we're going to minister a little. Okay, so some of you look a little shell-shocked. Okay, I want to be very honest, because these things are real. But if we pursue holiness, God will reward us. Not only in this life, He will reward us in this life, but He will reward us one day. And we will be able to stand there in front of Him with pure hearts. And we will be able to say, okay, these people actually, we helped. Because what does sexual things, it keeps you in bondage. I was there. I was enslaved to pornography. I was a shy guy. Not because I was shy, that was my personality. Because of bondage. I couldn't look people in the eye. I had a difficult relationship with girls because of that. Okay, Monica, can you share your testimony?
Okay. This morning I felt I must share this tonight. And it's not something that I've shared in a setting like this ever before. But I'm not going to let shame keep me back any longer. I realized afterwards that I've struggled with sexuality until the age of 21, and it came in because I had a lot of father issues, and he was just absent. The way it manifested in my life was, I would have a good friend, that's a girl, and then we would get really close, and then I don't know what happened. It was an emotional sort of connection that I was longing for. And it happened over and over again with a few people. And also I was stereotyped in my family as being like my one aunt that is still today a homosexual. I was a tomboy. I was rough when I grew up, so I was being stereotyped as well. But anyway, so the last time it happened was in I met a good friend and became really good friends. Alma also knows her, and Luke sort of. That's when Luke started coming on the scene as well, and this is where it ended. But this is when I really started. I've always known God, but this is really where I started experiencing His healing on a very deep level. So I knew God wanted to change this thing. I don't know how to deal with it. It just happened in my life, and before I know it, it was just too much, and it would just end the friendship. So I just sort of gave it over to God. And the last friend it happened with was, we're still very good friends today. I was a bridesmaid at her wedding and vice versa. I just want Luke to share the what he saw happening on the friendship level and afterwards. I had to tell this friend of mine that I feel like this guy that she's been dating, that she must leave it for a while. Simple as that. And it was an absolute, it caused a massive fight. And in the for a few months, and it took a year for the friendship to be restored. And in December 2011, I was really going through a lot of stuff. Obviously, I felt like I was losing a good friend. But I think that's when I really started dealing with this stuff. And Luke used to come pick me up, and we would drive, just for hours drive. And yeah, but I just want him to share from what he saw happening, how God redeemed the whole situation. But just quickly before he does it, so I struggled with this thing my whole life, and I never saw it as problems with sexuality. I only realized afterwards that I was so confused. I didn't know what was happening. My heart was always for friendship, but I realized I had that emotional need, that for connection, that I was looking for in the wrong place. And when this massive fight broke out, it's when God started the healing process.
So like Monica said, I started getting involved on the scene. And when Monica was first convicted to confront a friend about a relationship, I and quite a few of her friends felt that, you know, she was meddling in other people's relationships and she shouldn't be doing this. Anyway, but God gave me a dream, and in this dream, Monica's friend committed suicide. And the funny part about the dream was that everybody was happy about it, and it was a bit strange. So I was a bit freaked out by this dream. And then but then God came to show me that it's not that she commits suicide, it's that she's going to get to a point where she dies to herself. She gives up what she wants, so she kills her, her selfish self, and she's reborn essentially to what God wants her from her. And it was only possible because of what Monica was doing. And Monica got to this place where she had to choose either her feelings and what she wants, or she can choose what is best for her friend, even though it might cost her a friendship. She knew that full well going into this, that like this friendship could be over, but if she is brought closer in intimacy with God, then it is worth it. And so I think something that I learned from that, especially in terms of intimacy, is are we in relationships for what we can get out of it, or are we in relationships so that a person might become more intimate with God? You know?
Thanks. Thanks, Monica, for also being vulnerable. Eh? It is amazing that you can share that with us. Ek Quentin, echo. He looks good, eh? Look at his shoes, eh? Come on.
I've never shared this actually with a lot of people. closer. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I haven't shared it with a lot of people, only with close, intimate people I've actually shared this with. Yeah, I grew up. My dad died when I was 5 years old. I've got 3 older sisters. One is 6 years older than me. One is 5 years older than me. The other one is 3 years older than me. And my mom. So yeah, I grew up in a house full of females. My mom worked late shifts a lot and so forth. Well, during the night shift actually. Yeah, and as I grew up, my sisters, when they got into their teens and so forth and started throwing house parties, it was normal for us, house parties and so forth, and I started mingling with her friends, and that's basically where I got into the world. And obviously I was in the world before that, but that's where I started falling deeper and deeper into the world. And soon after that, started throwing house parties of my own. I'm talking now about Friday, Saturday nights, huge house parties. Then there's not even place in the bathroom in the house to stand. Huge parties. And then we used girls, slept with girls, left, right, and center. It basically got so out of hand, you will get girls that basically will come to you and tell you, because they know you don't get attached that easily and so forth, and will tell you basically they want you to be there first, because they don't want to be attached to you. They just want to get this whole thing over with, and that's how the basically the devil or the world basically brainwashed us from small. And then when I was 17, by keeping in mind that I grew up without a father, when I was 17, I got basically invited / forced to a youth center in Oudtshoorn. That's just before Henry came to Oudtshoorn. It was still called Impact in that time. I got forced there, and basically when I walked into that place, it was just like I just felt the fatherly love from males, from there was, especially there was 4 older males there that just basically showed me, I just basically saw God in them, and my life changed there, just like that. Stopped having parties, gave that up to pursue holiness, and start seeing girls and friends as brothers and sisters through the eyes of Jesus. Since that, basically pursuing friendship, friendship intimacy with boys and girls, and not seeing girls as a piece of meat, if I can put it in that sense. And then as time went basically by, Amu is probably going to get to this still, I think, because my mind was a bit occupied there in the back for a second, so I don't know if he maybe already said it. Something that stands between you and holiness, of you and intimacy, is basically holiness and forgiveness. And as years went by, me pursuing holiness and intimacy with God, He showed me, girls' names and stuff, and guys as well, guys that I don't care if it's your girlfriend, I'll flip and sleep with her if I want to, it's not my problem. He showed me in names and people out that I had to tell them I'm sorry, I had to ask for forgiveness to get inner peace in myself. That's basically...
Wow. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Quinton, again. And the thing about Quinton is he really treats women very well. So that's just the story of how God restored him and redeemed him.